Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the Amerigo Resources Quarter 3 2006 Financial Results Conference Call. I would now like to turn the meeting over to Mr. Michael Kuta, the company's General Counsel and Corporate Secretary. Please go ahead, Mr. Kuta.
Thank you, Christopher. Good morning, everyone. Before we begin our presentation, let me caution you that our comments and discussions will include forward-looking statements and information within the meaning of applicable securities legislation. Although we believe that the anticipated future results, performance, or achievements expressed or implied by the forward-looking statements and information are based on reasonable assumptions and expectations, you should not place undue reliance on forward-looking statements and information because they involve unknown and known risks, uncertainties, and other factors which may cause the actual results, performance, or achievements of the company to differ materially from anticipated future results, performance, or achievements expressed or implied by such forward-looking statements and information. You should review our press release issued November 1 and our other documents filed with the securities authorities in Canada, including our annual information form under the heading Description of the Business Risk Factors. These documents describe the material factors and assumptions that were applied in drawing the conclusions and making the forecasts and projections as reflected in the forward-looking statements and information, and the material factors that could cause our actual results, performance, or achievements to differ materially. We undertake no obligation to update or revise any forward-looking statements or information made in this presentation. Now I'd like to introduce our chairman, Mr. Steven Dean.
Thanks, Mike. Good morning, everybody. As investors would be aware from our press releases over the last two quarters, we've had to operate in a somewhat challenging environment. Challenging particularly in the sense that over the last two quarters, we've been impacted by stoppages and constraints on our production, which are beyond our control. They are beyond our control because they are factors imposed by El Teniente, which is one of the divisions of the largest copper company in the world, Codelco, as a result of various incidents that they have had to deal with in connection with the processing of tailings and the sending of their tailings to their Carén Dam. As you might remember, in Q2, we had some incidences which related to environmental accident incurred by Teniente, which resulted in a complete stoppage of tailings flow and production for Amerigo. As I said, beyond our control and not something that directly impacted us, other than to the extent that we were without source material for processing for that period. We believe subsequent to that environmental incident, the company undertook a wide-ranging review of its tailings process and flow, looking and examining all potential risks in connection with that flow. One of the issues that were raised out of that review was concerns in relation to the structural integrity of a bridge over the Cochopal River downstream from our MVC plant. As we announced and discussed at the last quarterly call, the result of those concerns meant that the production flow, the flow of material into our plant was constrained by about 60%, I should say, whilst repairs were undertaken on that bridge, which carries the tailings material across this river until it gets further downstream to the Carén Dam. The result of that, as I said, is that we're limited in the amount of material we receive from which we can produce our production of copper and molybdenum. Having said that, I am very pleased to report that notwithstanding that production constraint, we were able to generate net earnings after tax for the quarter of $8.3 million, somewhat lower than the $12 million that we reported in Q2, but given the circumstances, a commendable effort by our management group at MVC. That earnings result also was up some 27% and a record Q3 earnings result for the company, up 27% from the same quarter last year. The primary reason for that, of course, is a higher copper price than this time last year, but somewhat offset by the lower volume of production due to the constraints placed upon us by El Teniente. Earnings per share were approximately 9 cents versus 8 cents in the previous corresponding quarter. Cash flow from operations was nevertheless a strong $8.4 million, also roughly 9 cents a pound versus a similar number in 2005 of 9 cents a pound per share. Sorry, I didn't say pounds. Yes, you had 9 cents per share. Production, as a result of those constraints, were down significantly in previous quarters, 4.72 million pounds of copper and 163,000 pounds of molybdenum. The gross selling price for copper during the Q3 quarter was $3.67 a pound, a little higher than the LME average of $3.48, mainly due to favorable settlement adjustments flowing from Q2 deliveries. The realized copper price, net of smelter charges and adjustments for copper pounds sold in the quarter was $3.04 pound. Cash costs, and this is where I think we have cause for being pleased with the management performance of our team at NDC, insofar as notwithstanding a significantly lower volume of production, they managed to keep the cost per pound, production cost per pound of copper and moly, to pretty well identical cost per pound to the previous quarter when production was significantly higher. The principal reduction in total cash costs between the Q3 2006 and Q2 2006, the previous quarter, is pretty well exclusively a difference of 10 cents a pound in smelter and refinery costs between the two quarters. Most of the other costs, with the exception of a small difference in administration costs, were the same as the previous quarter, notwithstanding production being some 60% of the previous quarter's production level. Total costs per pound were $1.84, but I urge all of our followers to be careful of how they understand and analyze these production costs. And one of the reasons why we go to the length of incorporating in our MD&A for the quarter, on page 4 of the MD&A, we break down into the various categories, cash costs and total cost categories for the previous five quarters. And that allows the reader to understand or get a better sense of where the cash costs lie and what drives their changes. Of course, copper and moly production costs are very much driven by factors including energy and the cost of steel, and when no often in that regard, because most of our peer copper producers also are heavily impacted by those movements. Similarly, smelter and refinery costs, if one looks at Q3 2005 versus Q3 2006, one can see the impact principally of the price participation factor in the treatment charges calculation, where we had in Q3 2005 a smelter and refinery cost of 36 cents a pound versus Q3 2006, where we have smelter and refinery cost of 67 cents. That's, of course, off a $3.40, $3.50 copper price. And we would expect, like the rest of the industry, the price participation to be at the very least constrained or reduced from prior levels due to the fact that the formulas that the TC and RCs have been based on in historical times have never anticipated copper prices at these levels. That combined with a shortfall of supply of concentrate versus capacity of smelter and refineries around the world will drive the pendulum of the swing of these costs back in favor of the miner. That should have an impact in 2007 for the whole of the miner side of the industry. The other variable factor in the total cost is, of course, El Teniente royalty. I like to look at that Teniente royalty as an effective mining cost for us, as readers would probably appreciate. Because we sent this material from which we recover copper down a 40-kilometer-long pipeline from Teniente up 2,500 meters in the Andes, we don't have a mine and we don't have the cost attendant to a mine and all the factors that drive mining costs per se, like diesel costs and oil prices and capital equipment, mobile equipment costs. So our mining cost is effectively the cost that we pay Teniente for the delivery of this material or the rights to treat this material. That formula, as those who have followed us would know, varies with the copper price, but in simple terms, at 80 cents copper price per pound, which, by the way, when this company started up in 2003, that's where it was, in fact, below than 80 cents, we pay nothing for the fresh tailing flow of that material. So that royalty is zero at 80 cents or less, and above 80 cents it's a sliding participation based on copper price, and it is capped at a 13% participation at copper prices $1.30 and above. So should we ever endure significantly lower copper prices, that royalty or our effective mining cost will trend to zero. And so when we look at our cost structure and when one looks at how defensive in a lower copper price environment any copper producer might be, I think Amerigo is relatively unique to the extent that our costs will largely decline with the copper price in both the smelter and refinery as well as our Teniente royalty or effective mining costs component in our cost structure. During the quarter, we continued to complete the construction of two large thickeners. The total cost during the quarter invested in those was US $9.9 million, funded substantially from our operating cash flow. We expect the first one of those two thickeners to commission in the next 2 to 3 weeks, and those thickeners are being brought on in connection with environmental regulations, which were effective in October of this year in Chile. Our cash balance as at the end of the quarter was US$12.5 million. That was after all operating and capex expenses, as well as increasing our investment at the time in Chariot Resources. As shareholders would be aware, in early October, subsequent to the quarter end, we sold our strategic stake in Chariot for a profit of approximately Canadian $10 million. As of the date of this report, we had cash and marketable securities of a value of the order of $32 million. We paid on September 1 during the Q3 quarter a dividend of $3.8 million, or 4.5 cents per Canadian dollars per share, which brings a total dividend per share for 2006 to 9 cents per share, or about $7.5 million in dividends to our shareholders. The only other fact that I'd like to bring to the attention of listeners for the Q3 report is the change or the way in which we've managed our production concentrate quotas with our smelter and refinery in Nami. We have a significant and complete disclosure of these changes in the section dealing with revenue in our Q3 MD&A. The bottom line of those changes is that as a result of the production curtailments from Teniente, we of course couldn't produce sufficient to meet our production quotas to Enami, and as a result we reached agreement with Enami to defer the satisfaction of those quotas through to 2007, which means that our April 2007 deliveries we expect will be earmarked to satisfy our November and December quotas, and we'll work back from there. What this means, of course, is that to the extent that there is any reduction in TCRC terms in 2007, we won't get the benefit of those until after that date. Having said that, due to the way in which the agreement works with Enami, our January to April production in 2007 will effectively be price protected at the prevailing copper prices in October, November, and December of 2006 due to the terms of those delivery contracts. So we will not have any price risk downside in our production from January to April 2007 due to the fact that they relate to satisfaction of delivery quotas in the Q4 2006 period. I'm sure I'm going to have some questions on that, and I'd be happy to answer those. That's all I wanted to say, and I look forward to your questions. Thank you.
Thank you. We will now take questions from the telephone lines. If you have any questions or comments at this time, please press star 1 on your telephone keypad. If you are using a speakerphone, please lift your handset before pressing star 1. You may cancel your question at any time by pressing the pound sign. Please press star 1 at this time if you have a question. There will be a brief pause while participants register. Thank you for your patience. The first question is from Raymond Goldie from Toronto. Please go ahead.
Thank you. Good morning. Mike, I have a couple of questions. One was the 552,000 pounds of moly year-to-date that you produced. Was that from El Teniente feed entirely, or was some of that moly from the toll treatment you were doing for Chuquicamata?
No, we don't report our the Chuqui moly production, Ray, because it's not ours, because it's a toll basis, so the production report is our production.
Well, thank you very much, and I wanted to also check if you have a target for copper production in 06, and if so, how much of that would be from Cooley West?
As you know, we've been constrained, Ray, from extraction from Caliwez until the bridge and downstream environmental and tailings issues are solved by Teniente. So there's very little production in Q3 and there will be very little production in Q4, in fact none, in Q4 from Caliwez because of those constraints. And as we've said in previous discussion and releases, we expect those constraints that are presently upon us to be lifted during the period of Q1 2007, at which point in time we hope to be able to commence extraction at from Kaliwez, as well as wrap up the full tonnage of fresh tailings by the end of that quarter, and ramp up to our target of 60 million pounds of production on an annualized basis by the end of 2007.
Great. Thank you, Mr. Dean.
Thanks, Rick.
Thank you. Once again, please press star 1 if you have any questions or comments at this time. The next comment is from Paul Klassen from Vancouver. Please go ahead, sir.
Yeah, hi. I was just wondering how accurate your original estimate was for the four-month delay with the 20% tailings restriction from El Teniente. Is that on target to be completed, I guess, now in roughly a month? Is that what the time frame was?
I'm not sure where the... Well, I know we discussed and we were told originally in the early days how long Teniente would estimate the work that they were doing would take. But as I said in answer to the last question, Paul, the best information we have, and the struggle I have to say that we do have in making any public statements in this regard, is that these things are not within our control. We just simply get told what we get told by Teniente and how well they're doing or not doing on a periodic basis, and that changes. And we're a little reluctant to be too precise because we know that Teniente are not particularly precise at times on when they think they will complete certain things. But the best we know today from Teniente is that in Q1 2007 we expect to be able to ramp up to the full fresh tailings and commence extraction from Kaliwez on some basis in that quarter.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from Michael Lamb from Toronto. Please go ahead.
Yes, the first question is your Q4 production, I would assume, would be still significantly lower than Q3 only because you had this problem around mid-August when you had the reduction in tailings?
Yeah.
Okay. Would a best guess be a roughly 3.5 to 3.5+ million pounds?
I think that might be on the low side, but yes, it would be a similar quarter, if not a little lower than Q3.
Okay. But you were full production in July, though, were you not? I mean, that's why I would assume that you would be much lower than 4.7.
That's true, but we're hoping to be able to, as the repairs progress on the bridge, we're hoping to be able to push up the production from the lower constraint levels to slightly higher as the year progresses and the work progresses.
Okay.
So it's kind of offset by that factor as well, Paul.
And the second question is, in terms of CapEx, how much CapEx do you really have planned for Q4 and 2007?
Q4 in Q4 2006, you mean?
Yeah, Q4 2006, and what's your current CapEx plans for 2007?
Second, I'm just going to ask our CFO, do you know what the Q4 CapEx is likely to be? Did we put that in the MD&A?
No, we don't have that. I think it's going to be comparable to Q, a little bit lower, perhaps 9 to 8% of Q3 levels.
Yeah, I think that's right. Did you get that answer? We think it's somewhere between 75 and 100% of Q3 levels for Q4. 07, we haven't done our budget yet, but what I can say to you is that there are no major CapEx items in the plan except the equipment in connection with the ramp-up of the Kaliwez extraction, which would include additional monitors and piping for that process, but then it will be significantly less than 0.6.
So you said Q4 is roughly around 7, you said 75% of Q3?
Yeah.
So what's the major item for Q4?
Well, the second thickener.
Oh, the second thickener, sorry, okay. Okay. And going back to looking at ramping up the full production on the fresh tailings and starting Kaliwais, I mean, on one hand, I care less about when that starts, because that could be next month, that could be February, whatever. I mean, that's not in your control. What is more important is that in the past, well, I guess for most of 2006, the biggest issue originally was, A, you know, El Teniente was concerned about volume down to tailings launder, and that's where you were first restricted in setting and producing Kaliwais. And the second restriction later on was when you try to do the recirculation, they were worried about the metallurgy within Kaliwais by recirculating. So the question I have is, how confident are you? Because when you start is less relevant to your confidence that you actually will get approval to process Kaliwais. And why would El Teniente, can you give us any flavor why El Teniente says it's going to be okay?
Well, we have an agreement with them that to extract it. So there's not a question of whether or not we will be able to extract it. What we have to do, though, is go through, as we've said in the last conference call and in our previous releases, what we have to do is complete a detailed feasibility and an environmental study to make sure that the way in which we're proposed to do it is in an environmentally and sound and systematic way, that manner. There are no metallurgical issues. We've been extracting this stuff, albeit on a pilot scale, for almost 2 years now, with the exception of this interruption in this quarter in Q3. So I'm not sure what you mean by the metallurgical issues.
No, I think it was something we talked about before, about if you were recirculating within Kaliwais when you couldn't send it down a tailings launder.
There's no metallurgical issues in connection with that, because what we would simply do is replace the material in another part of the dam.
Okay. Well, the real issue, if you can, again, provide some flavor, is that El Teniente was concerned about this volume down the tailings launder. One of the reasons that was one of the factors early on. Now, I know they are repairing the tailings launder, but due to your conversations with them, you feel that as a result of these repairs that they would have some confidence in allowing you to put more volume through.
What I think you're alluding to is the commissioning of the thickness. What that does is increase the percentage of solids in the flow of material out of our plant back into their tailings launder down the hill to the Karen Dam. The effect of the increase in percentage solids has the effect in a volumetric calculation of increasing lowering the utilization of that launder and increasing the capacity for us to put more in that launder at a higher solids percentage.
Okay, and just the last question is, given your big cash position and your continuing positive cash flow, any comments about continuing a share buyback or any other capital measures?
Well, we think we're managing our capital reasonably well. We're paying a very strong dividend in comparison to our peers, averaging us something on the order of 5% of 5% yield. We're also doing a buyback. Having said that, it's under the rule for buyback, we are somewhat constrained as to how and when we can buy. Because you know, we can't buy during our blackout periods. So for example, for the last 2 or 3 weeks, we've been constrained from being able to buy because of that policy. And then there are rules that the TSX have in connection with whether we can buy any uptick, downtick, etc. So we've been working quite hard at picking up stock under our share buyback, and we'll continue to do so. in reference to that, to our cash position, we are not alone in many of our peer companies with strong cash positions. The challenge for all of us is to find a good place to invest that. Now, for us, we have a number of organic opportunities to which we've referred over the last several quarters, including opportunities like the work we are doing in connection with the Kakenas Dam, which is the dam adjacent to Koliwez, which has got some 550 million tons of 0.3% copper in it. We don't have any agreement with Teniente on that at present, but we continue to discuss that with them, and we've done some preliminary metallurgical test work. If we were to proceed with that, then that would require significant capital expenditure. In addition to that, we're also looking at other opportunities similar to the Teniente process for applying our technology in Chile, and we're in discussions on those as well. The other front that we're working hard on is that we continue to look at the opportunities in the broader marketplace to grow our business through acquiring and then cooperating and working with other copper companies where we believe that they're undervalued and or where we can make a contribution. We saw that in Chariot and managed to make a significant return in a very short space of time. Having said that, that wasn't our original objective. Our original objective was to see whether we couldn't work with that company to help them progress the project. It was our conclusion in last month that the time frame for the Chariot to get into production was beyond our horizon, and we saw other opportunities to invest in similar companies with development projects which were either in or near to immediate production of copper, and we, like many of the market observers, believe the copper price will be sustained at strong levels, but whether that will still be the case in 3 or 4 or 5 years' time, we don't know. But what we do feel strongly about is that the copper price will be at these levels for the next one or two years, so it makes more sense for us to get involved with companies that are bringing in projects on nearer term than longer term.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from Steve Schaefer from Salmon Arm. Please go ahead.
Good morning. Can you tell me what the net asset value of the company is on a per share basis?
Answer that question. I think it is in the. Do we calculate that in our financial statements?
Well, we got the.
No, we've got the book value, which was
$1.03
per share.
Book value, sir, is $1.03 per share.
Thank you.
That, of course, is historical value, not real value. The market price is the stock price is more reflective of what the market believes of the value of businesses.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from Vincent Lanza from Hamilton. Please go ahead.
Hello. I'd like to congratulate you on that Chariot business. And can you tell me, will you still be reserving 30% of your money for dividends?
That's our policy. That policy so will be reviewed from time to time, and under corporate law, a board can't be constrained from guaranteeing those dividends. But whilst we continue to generate this level of income and have a strong cash position, that would be our intention.
Thank you.
Thank you. There are no further questions registered at this time. I would now like to turn the meeting back to Mr. Dean.
Thank you. Thank you for all your questions. As I stated in my opening remarks, it's been a challenging quarter for management, both the Q3 as well as Q2 and even in the current Q4. Not so much technically, but it's been a frustrating quarter because we have been constrained from doing doing better than we have by factors that are beyond our control. Whilst that our El Teniente contract and relationship is one of our strengths, it also can be one of our constraints, as we found in these current quarters. Having said that, it's our understanding that this year, in the 14 years of operation of MVC, we've never had the sort of production disruptions that we've experienced in the recent quarters, and hopefully we're having, as I think Queen Elizabeth once said, this is the annus horribilis for Amerigo, and we put it behind us in 2007. Thanks for listening.
Thank you. The conference has now ended. Please disconnect your lines at this time. We thank you for your participation, and have a great day.